Elizabeth Elliot says, there's a difference between a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day and a peaceful and happy one. I think it does not depend nearly so much on what happens as it depends on your attitude and your response. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of more than 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and Shadow of the Almighty.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking today to the mothers who are able to stay home. I had a letter from one mother who has three children, 3.5, 1.5, and a baby. They live in 500 square feet. Her husband's job is commission only, which means that their income varies greatly. She says, God has always provided everything that we needed. Thanks for reminding us that a mother is an important asset in the home, that we are loved with an everlasting love, and that underneath are the everlasting arms. I have no desire to pursue a career on most days, she says with an exclamation mark, and I have always wanted to do just what I'm doing now, and know that my work is the most important in the world. But I need to hear this again and again. Full-time homemakers are so beaten down by the media and other elements in society, they need to hear what I already know to be encouraged in what I'm doing. That's the end of the quotation from that letter. But I'm so glad that more and more I'm finding things, even in the mass media, which recognize that the feminist movement went way too far. I think even Betty Friedan, one of the instigators of the movement, herself acknowledged that they went too far. And some of the failures of the feminist movement are becoming very obvious and are being written about in the secular press. And it's not always discouraging for the mothers who stay home. Here's another editorial by somebody named Jackie Davison from USA Today. There is no success in the career world that can compensate for the loss of the woman from the home. A wise woman will be queen of her home while embellishing her man's career. Alexis de Tocqueville wrote in 1831, I have nowhere seen women occupying a loftier position, and if I were asked to what the singular prosperity and growing strength of the Americans ought mainly to be attributed, I should reply the superiority of their women. Now, that was a Frenchman observing America in 1831. She says, the way it could have been, Tom Lincoln is stoking the fire in their humble log cabin. It's wrong for you to get an abortion. Nancy curtly replies, it's my body, and I have the right to decide not to give up 9 months of my life to have a baby. What's more, I would have to take a month off from my job when he gets here. I remind you that that paragraph is headed with the words, the way it could have been. Next paragraph, the way it was. Tom and Nancy Lincoln begat a son. They called him Abraham. Because President Lincoln loved God, he followed the dictates of his moral conscience and freed the black man from his chains of slavery. He is second only to Jesus Christ as the most loved man the world over who ever lived. He said, whatever I am and whatever I hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. The wives of great men know where their glory lies. There is no soul of a man less important than the soul of a president. There is no soul of a child less important than a president's child. Shall I read that again? There is no soul of a man less important than the soul of a president. In other words, you're not president, but your soul is every bit as important as the soul of a president. And there is no soul of a child less important than a president's child. A man and woman are like a lock and key, as different as night and day. He is masculine and strong, she is feminine and soft. Together they form a useful functioning unit. Two locks or two keys are of no value to each other. A woman loses her feminine identity when she has to become a tough businesswoman. When the man makes the living and the woman makes life worth living, their home becomes a laboratory of precious memories. Plato said, "When ye attain oneness in love, ye are the envy of the gods." On the opinion page in another magazine, someone wrote, "Women want control over their own lives. They want to determine their futures. Many will become homemakers. Many will choose careers. No woman should be forced into a role because it's expected of her. Such decisions should be a matter of choice, not stereotype or tradition." That's the end of the quote. Now, it does sound reasonable. Such decisions should be a matter of choice. But it is, let's recognize, the wisdom of the world. But we who have turned our lives over to Christ have a different master, a different motive, a new direction for our lives, a totally different perspective. We live in this visible, tangible, temporary world, but we take our values from an invisible, intangible, and permanent world. 1 Corinthians 3:12. "If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work." I would ask you today, with what are you building? Gold, silver, and costly stones? They will abide the fire. Wood, hay, and stubble? They will be burned. In 1 John 2:17, we find these words, "The world and all its passionate desires will one day disappear. But the one who is following the will of God is part of the permanent and cannot die." That's a favorite verse of mine. It's one of the verses that I used to use when I was questioned by secular press people about the motivation for my husband Jim Elliott and four other missionaries going into the territory of a group of people called Alkas who were known to be killers of strangers. Why would they do such a thing? The principle of their lives was an invisible, an intangible, but a permanent one, articulated in 1 John 2:17. "The world and all its passionate desires will one day disappear, but the man who is following the will of God is part of the permanent and cannot die." What are the most important things in your life? If you have children, I would assume that you would put your children right at the top of the list. Your husband or your wife, your home, your marriage, your children. The car, the two cars, the skiing vacation, the beautiful clothes, the microwave, the television set, or the three television sets, how important are they? We've had so many testimonies from women who have made real sacrifices, tangible, visible sacrifices, in order to stay home and take care of their children. If you can do that, with the blessing of God, if you can do it without disobeying your husband, I'm here to say, by all means, do it. And we older women can tell you, younger women, you will not believe how fast those years are going to pass when you're in the midst of piles of laundry and cleaning and dishes. You just would give anything to fly away like a bird and be at rest, maybe just for 1 hour or for 1 day. Oh, these children, what am I going to do? And yet, we're here to say those years are fleeting. Those children are going to be grown up so fast you won't believe it. It takes my breath away when I go back after just a few months and see my grandchildren. I think between about October and January, my 14-year-old grandson must have grown about 3 inches. So we put marks on the wall where everybody was in January of 1992, and I imagine that when I see them again, they will each have grown noticeably. How important are those years? How quickly they'll go. So ask God what He wants you to do. That's what's important. And then, by His grace, by His all-sufficient power, by His sometimes miraculous provision, as many of the letters that we receive testify, He will enable you to do it, because God has never asked anybody to do anything that He doesn't enable us to do. My grace, He says, is all you need, for My power is made perfect in weakness. Do you feel qualified to be a stay-at-home mother? Do you think you can do a perfect job? Of course not. Have you got it all together? None of us has. But He is there to help you. He is our refuge and our helper. The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my refuge and strength. Trust Him, will you? Trust Him to help you to do the thing He tells you to do. God bless you.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.